next five messages. So if you come next week, he's in Africa. And so I appreciate the trust that he has in me, and it is, it's my hope that the Holy Spirit will not disappoint any of us, which he never does, but that he will bring out the truth of the word and wisdom in a way that maybe we haven't seen before. And if we have seen it before, we can listen and study these things with thankfulness that you see it. I want us to look at just a very short set that we're going to start out with, but I'm going to warn you today, and I'll tell you again, too, when we get through with this. I want you to keep your Bible close, because we're going to track some things. And if you don't follow us with your scriptures in hand, well, you'll hear it. But I don't think it'll mean as much to you unless you also have that Bible in your hand as we go through the words that Paul penned to get across the message that I hope we see today. If you would, though, for now, let's just turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we've been coming through this with Brother Rusty. He's preached to us all the way through the book of Romans to this point. And over and over and over, wisdom has been mentioned, light has been mentioned, love has been mentioned. But he kind of brings some things together here. He says in verse 15, we're going to look at 15 through 17 of chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Now we're going to go ahead and read the rest of this as well, because this is where my message will be coming from as we go through the rest of this scripture. Therefore, do not be foolish. Did I say the other part? I'm sorry, the time, because the days are evil? I did. Good. Never hurts to hear it twice. Now the next verse, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now we're going to include that in today's message. The rest of the messages will come from after that. We're going to start with 18, though, for just the next couple of messages. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's bow our heads, please. Dear God, we're so thankful that you have this word from such a faithful preacher and minister of the gospel as Paul was. We pray, Lord, that the same spirit that Christ turned his disciples over to is here today with us, because we know, Father, without the Spirit of God, we don't have any salvation or hope of it inside of us. And so, Father, we ask you to help us to look at these verses. Help us, Lord, to see how we would walk. Help us, Lord, to learn the importance of wisdom and making the best use of our time, and then seeing, Father, that these days are evil, but in the coming of our Lord, as Jesus came in the incarnation, he came to show us that you are Lord. You have come to display your mercy and your grace and your glory through your Son. Help us to see your Son in all these things that we do today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I have a memory of mine. I was invited to a church to speak. Not spoken there before. Went to the Bible study that they had for Sunday school. Just like everybody else at Sunday school, we were all divided up, you know. But as the man was teaching, I mean, it was good. I was soaking it up. This is wonderful stuff. Little old church, didn't even have a pastor at that point. That's why I was there, one of the many subs that they listened to. And so as we were leaving, he was locking up. I was still in the sanctuary. He came to me and he said, I told him first, I said, man, I want to tell you, I appreciated your Bible study today in Sunday school. Man, if they hear that every week, you're doing something that God has put you here for. And he smiled and kind of giggled, kind of like our vice president does sometimes. Inappropriately, as a matter of fact. And he said, he looked. Now listen, Brother Lamar, I want to show you something. And he went back to where his Bible was, and he picked up a book. And it was a Matthew Henry commentary. And he said, now don't tell anybody if you come back here and preach, but this is what I teach out of. And I don't want everybody to come in here with a Matthew Henry one day, because then I wouldn't have anything to teach, because they would have already read it. I really didn't know how to respond to it. I thanked him for the coffee and I left. But you know, folks, there are a lot of folks out there that can actually receive commentaries in such a way. And they do want to hide them when they're teaching, because they don't want you to know, because after all, if you know what they know, then they're not going to need to be in your class. But we don't think that way here. One of the things that I appreciate most about Reformed Baptist thinking, Reformed thinking in general, is we want everyone in our church to mature in the Word. We want everyone in our church to be so involved in learning about the place of Christ and the place of the Bible in the lives of His people that we don't start there as babies. We don't start there even as young ones. We want all the people in our church, and I think is evidenced by some of our children that we have here, we want everybody to start off way up here somewhere. It's not that we don't need the other information, but as we learn from each other and live together with this and share all this, I think we see more of what Paul's addressing here in this chapter. We don't need to start from scratch every Sunday. But also be aware, we need to be reminded. Paul reminds us, I have been blessed by the reading of the various scriptures. It's been a while since I've read through Paul in the way that I'm doing it now, in all the epistles, not just the one that I'm in. And it's opened my eyes. He repeats himself a lot. Did you know that? He does. He does that on purpose. He brings back some of the things that he says, oh, you don't need to be as little children, you know, with pablum. But then doesn't he always come back and say, but this is something you need to know, because this is a very foundational thing. This is a basic thing, and you need to be reminded of this. And so we don't all start out the same place, but praise God, as Brother Rusty has mentioned before, you've come a long way, folks. I've known some of you 10 years, 12 years, and as the Sunday school teachers know, that you don't always want to ask the under 25s a question unless you know the answer to the question, because they're liable to come back and give you a very good answer that sends you to another question and you realize you don't know which way that question's going to go. That's why lawyers don't ask a question they don't already know the answer to. They don't want to open evidence that wasn't supposed to be in the trial. Well, it's the same thing with the Sunday school teacher. Sometimes he opens up a can of worms and then everybody learns from it. And then we all go home and thank God that, boy, that Sunday school teacher had a good lesson today, didn't he? But, so anyway, let's look at this now. We have I gave you an outline. I like the way that the ESV actually words this in the 2016 edition. It says, if you live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We have heard people pray, you know, Lord, don't let me go ahead of you. Let me always be behind you. But you know what? When we pray, we are praying God's words back to Him. So when the Holy Spirit is leading us, we want to be close enough so that we're hearing, we're listening, we're paying attention. And as we speak to the Lord in our prayers, we are praying back the things in step with the Spirit. Because as He is teaching us, we are praying in thankfulness. We're praying in learning. We're praying in, oh, how can I share this? So that's the way I wanted to include that one. My particular edition doesn't say it that way, but I like the idea of keeping in step with God. So that's what we're going to be looking at for this way that I'm going to do this. We must keep in step with the Spirit as we walk in the knowledge of God. I'm not just, what do we say, blow and smoke? Not blow and smoke, folks, but you've got a lot of knowledge represented by the men and women and boys and girls in this church. Don't get prideful now, because if you do, God's going to show you a way that will take you down. I did that one time. It was a good lesson. And you're not going to hear it today. But when God deals with us, we need to make sure that we catch up, because one of the things Paul goes over from time to time, in fact, we're going to look at today, he says you need to love God as a child loves his father. Because we want to see how God leads us. We want to see how the Spirit leads us through. And then as we begin to copy what he's doing, your family sees what you're doing. The younger ones see what you're doing. Your neighbors see what you're doing. It's not Lifeway evangelism. It is the Spirit of God working in such a way that you will be able to testify as well as follow the Spirit in meeting with your neighbors, friends, kinfolk even. So keeping in step with the Spirit as you walk in the knowledge of God. Let's take a look now at these words. Look carefully is the way this first set starts out. Look carefully then how you walk. Casey brought us a really good example when we were at the breakfast Friday. Some of the translations say look circumspectly. Yes. I never have said it right yet. But it has a sense of looking around, looking close, looking in a circle. And his idea was, it would put a picture in my mind that I wanted to make sure we see today. Whether it says look carefully or circumspectly, it's getting in close and finding out by just going all around this thing. Back and forth, back and forth. He said he's even looked at the new church three different times, just walking all the way around. And we, when we see a scripture, Paul shows us through these things that we're going to see today as the Holy Spirit works with you, works with me, and works in us and through us, that we cannot read carelessly. Whenever Calvin comments, I have one today. One of the first problems that the new Christian and the older Christian share is when we read carelessly through the Bible. Oh, we talked about that in Sunday school. I don't know if I have enough time to read the Bible, but you know what they say? A verse a day keeps the devil away. So I'm going to read it, and then I'll walk out. If we have the time to do anything, we have even more time to read the Scriptures. We don't always think that, because we are interrupted by so many things that mean so much. But look carefully, look wisely, we're going to see. Not unwisely, but you want to look around and just get a good view of all around you, because the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's not what he brings into this, but it is the same idea. You want your head on a swivel, you want those eyes on a swivel so that you're seeing all sides, because your enemy may very well come in the face of a friend. Christ encountered that, didn't he? You might as well. So we need to look to be aware, because when we walk, and that's what this is, he says, look carefully then how you walk. Walk is the way you live. It's not just my old feet trying to plod across the ground. It's the way that we act, the way we interact, the way we behave. The way we live is what Paul is referring to here. So look carefully as you are living, not as unwise, but as wise. The first three chapters, I was thankful to see this whenever it's first brought to me. Paul is very logical, and he wants to arrange things so that you'll see how they work together. And the first three chapters here of Ephesians, I've loved them. They're my favorite three. I was a Baptist growing up, so we never heard chapter 6, only part of chapter 5. That wasn't in the Bible. We only heard the the parts after the word predestination until you get to about four. But you know what? When you're doing this, we learn the whole Bible. That's what I like about the expositional preaching that we have in Reformed circles. You don't get to miss anything. I'm going to have to preach on submitting to husbands, wives. And it's my privilege to preach, husbands, love your wives. Would I choose that? No. I told my wife, said, if there's a hypocrite in the church, don't point at him. But in any event, the first three chapters are doctrine. They teach us what a Christian should believe. And these second three chapters, the 4 through 6, they teach how a Christian behaves. Not how he should behave. Not how he ought to behave. But how he behaves. And you still may call yourself a Christian. But every time you sit there and you kind of got to wince at something, that's what you need to deal with the Holy Spirit on right then. When you get home, it's too late. If your memory's like mine, you done forgot about it. You're all good again. You walk in and you smile at your wife and say, hey, baby, it's a great day. And all those things that the Holy Spirit had been reminding you when you hollered at that guy out the window when you were driving, or when you saw somebody that was dressed wrong, or all the different things that we encounter, they're gone by the time you get back because now you're doing something else. So you have doctrine for three chapters, you have behavior for three chapters, and we're going to be in this third chapter. The second section. So if we look at this in chapter 4, verse 1, if you would, turn back with me. It would be helpful today if our pages came with track shoes, I can tell you that. But that's all right. Paul loves the word therefore. And when he does, he's showing you, you need to stop and you need to study. You need to look back on what came to here, how you got here, and then we'll go forward. He was a prisoner of the Lord. He said, I urge you to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In one simple pericope here, he's told you exactly what he wants you to know here in chapter 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. He have these four graces. He wants you to walk in humility. That's others before yourself. In gentleness, that's where you're doing good, and you're doing it in times where no one else would. And you're doing it at times to people that you would never want to do anything for. Doing these things, you're following your walk, or in your walk, you're being patient. And in your walk, you're also bearing with one another in love. And when you're doing that, you're actually imitating the Lord God, aren't you? If it wasn't for the forbearance of God, if it wasn't for the patience of God, if it wasn't for the gentleness of our God and the humility of His Son, Jesus Christ, I don't know if I'd even be here at this point. But this is the first place here where Paul is pointed back to in his very first line, looking carefully. You look carefully so that you walk in these graces. And then, of course, just the way we look, we're not going to do these. We're not preaching all these verses here. But the very next lines, when you go through 4 to 7, he's showing us, we're not going to go through this, but he's telling us, this is who you should be as a group. As a church, this is who you should be as a people. This is who you should be as a family member. This is how you should be when you are alone with the Lord. You are looking at the body of Christ in your prayers. You are looking at the one hope that God has called you to. You're praying to the one Lord and walking in obedience to Him through the one faith and one baptism, and you're praising God, the one God and Father of all. And Paul has wrapped up a lot there. But all of it is what influences your walk before the Lord God Almighty, walking in step with the Holy Spirit. So let's see where he went from there. He goes, first, I want you to walk in a manner that's worthy of your calling. What's your calling? Look at verse 17 now. Your calling is to a new life in Christ. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. This is one thing Paul loves to do. He says, look at this. But on the other hand, this is what you see, but this is what you should see. This is what you do, this is what you should do. He's always making this antithesis. He's wanting you to see the comparison between darkness and light. And he even sees it here, just speaking of the very beginning of your walk with Christ. He says, all right, don't walk like you used to. Don't walk like the Gentiles do. You know, outside of the church, that doesn't mean much, unless you're in Israel. In Israel, you still have the division between Jew and Gentile. Now, if you're looking somewhere and you're discussing about CRT, and you look at them and say, baby, listen, man, we're together. We're both Gentiles in the Lord. We need to stop all the bickering we have and find some way to be forgiven in Christ so we can walk together as brother and sister in love. You think that would blow their mind? Make the ears wiggle, I believe, just a little bit. We no longer walk as the Gentiles do, which it affects the way you respond to Christians, but it also should affect the way that you respond to the non-Christian, non-believer also. He said, you don't do this in the futility of their minds. That's the way that the Gentiles walk. Oh, come on now. It's too modern a time to talk about Gentiles, isn't it? Look how he describes the Gentile. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. There is not a social issue that you're going to encounter, especially if you go to a SBC meeting here at the conference, whenever they have their meeting, their big meeting, that isn't described by that verse. Reasons why that Christians can't get together, the reasons why they can't walk together, why we sometimes cannot walk as we should, is because these things that have darkened our minds, these things that have darkened our understanding, trying to get in without knowing first that we're alienated from each other. That's what you're having to overcome. And as he talks to us about this, he says, but look at this. It's their ignorance. Now you call them ignorant, and you're probably going to lose your conversation, and they'll walk away throwing rocks at you maybe, especially when you tell them they have hardness of heart. Each of us, were you easy to get along with before you came to Christ? Okay, some of us aren't easy to get along with in Christ, but still. The hardness of the heart is not going to be overcome. You need to stop that. You need to do better. You need to be like me. You need to be like your mother, your brother, your dad, whoever. Hardness of the heart doesn't respond to that unless it's first opened up by the Holy Spirit of God. So this is why it's so important when we look carefully that we're understanding that we need to be gentle. We need to be humble. How many times have you seen people in the park and they're preaching, which I'm glad somebody's trying to do that. But I've never been successful at it. But the hardness of a Christian witness does more to deflate the opportunity than it does otherwise. So we are to understand and to remember we are not to walk as the Gentiles. Now we had a couple of the apostles. You remember when they wanted to walk in hardness of life? A hardness of heart. Jesus, they're not letting us in. Burn them down. What does that sound like? That's the response of almost every social interest group that is anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-good. They want to just burn it down. And two of our apostles that was walking with the Lord, what a great idea. For the time they were learning, as we all have to learn, we have to learn to keep in step with the Spirit. We need to keep in step with what we're being taught. We need to keep in step with what's being taught around us as we walk in the knowledge of the Word. Over and over, the knowledge of God. It doesn't matter how many times you've read some of these verses, you're going to read some things that you never saw before because it wasn't in that Bible until this edition, right? Had to be. And then God says, oh, no, that's always been there. It's your spirit that was not cooperating at the time. So as you draw this line now, you're supposed to be walking in a manner that's worthy of your calling as a Christian in the Lord, and then not as the Gentiles. And then you move up to the next page. He continues in the way that a Christian should walk in verse 20. He speaks of all these things that the others are doing outside of Christ, those that are not walking in the Spirit, and he says just plainly, that's not the way you learn of Christ. And I love what Paul does. He does this, and it always just kind of deflates your pride at that moment. He said, that's not the way you learned it. Aren't you thankful? Boy, praise God, you know what's going on. He said, assuming that you've heard about him and that you were taught in him. Now, this is not just for young people that, you know, we haven't seen them make a profession of faith yet. This is for all of us. Paul's writing to saints of God when he wrote this. Are you just assuming that that's the way that you came to Christ with the same old hard-hearted ways in which you'd always lived? No, the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22 says, to put off your old self. You know, one of the things that I was impressed with as I was going like this is I can remember the old preachers preaching on putting off your old self. I never understood what that meant. But you know, when the Spirit's dealing with you and you start being shown these things that you forgot about, because after all, they weren't too bad. They weren't too far off the mark. Didn't affect too many people. But he says, no, we should be working in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit as he is showing us these aspects and these characteristics of our old self. He says it belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt in your deceitful desires. Is he talking about Christians here? Yes, he is. He's reminding you that, yes, your heart has been changed. Yes, you're a new person in Christ. But there are things hidden away that you're not showing to anyone. But the Holy Spirit keeps speaking to you on them. Man, if you haven't been here for the whole last... How many months have you been preaching on sin? It seems like every time I stop, I just kind of let my attention wander. He said, sin. Brings you back. But the thing that I so appreciate, he brought us through Deuteronomy and somehow or another found Jesus in every cotton picking message. And he does exactly you do. Be thankful that you could give us a break. No, I'm not saying that out loud. No, I'm not. No, but this is one of the things that I do appreciate about the Reformed thinking and about our pastor, particularly at this point, about these kind of things. You don't let yourself off. Let's see, John Calvin. He said one of the reasons why you continue to walk off from where you should be, because you deserve to be forgiven. Yeah. He said, you don't think that what you did was bad enough. You don't think that you did it to enough people. You don't think that it's one of the big ten, so it's not that bad. He said, so we let ourselves get off more easily than what we should. Sometimes I wish Calvin would just mind his own business. That's a little truth coming out here. But he's looking at us, and he's saying what Paul has said. He says, those things in your old self, they belong to your former manner of life. They are corrupt and deceitful desires. Now here's the good news. If you're walking in step with the Spirit, as you are increasing in the knowledge of God, the very next line says, so be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on your new self. It's created after the likeness of God. That's right. It is amazing to me, just the very front of the scriptures where God said, let us create man in our own image. Excuse me. And for some reason, that just isn't on every page of the Bible, because it's teaching us first all these other things about what we've done to our image when we cracked it in our sin. But you were created in Christ, a new creation, when God changed your heart, gave you a new heart, and put you on the road to seeking after Him and loving Him and loving those in Christ that are around you in the Word, that are in the church, that are in the body of Christ. And then those that He starts showing you that, no, I don't want to go witness to them, Lord. Lord, have mercy. They smell worse than my dog. And then the Lord says in His scriptures how we're supposed to treat people. The next time you see that person, you remember, you love your dog. Why don't you love him? So we put on the new self, which is created after the likeness of God. And how do you know the likeness of God? The Holy Spirit shows you over and over and over through the knowledge of God how indeed God has created you so that the works you would do would be good works and would glorify Him. And then Paul keeps talking and keeps walking, and he says, look at chapter 5 now. At this point, he's warned us already to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. In the previous verse to this particular chapter, he's telling us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I hope you're looking at your scriptures. Therefore, there's that word. You're lucky I didn't go all the way through 4. But therefore, it says, remember all these things that I taught you before, that we have been so graciously taught before. But right now, we're just drawing some lines also. Therefore, be imitators of God. You know, that's a pretty good command. You ever tried to imitate God? There was a fella, one of my favorite commercials on TV. He was a little kid. He had a Darth Vader suit on. And he was walking around, and he was trying to make things levitate. And he was trying to make things, you know, do all the different things that Darth Vader did. And then he went out there, and he stood in front of his daddy's car. Have you seen this one? Do you remember it? It's an old commercial. And he's standing there, and nothing's worked. But he's in front of daddy's car. And he goes, and his daddy's inside, got the little clicker. That car comes on, those lights come on, and this boy just, he's amazed. Look what I did. This is real. Why are we amazed whenever God hears your prayer and answers your prayer, and it's even more than you could have ever asked or thought? That little boy was just fascinated. Why are we not fascinated by the God who is our Father? He says right here, he says, therefore be imitators of God. Well, here's how he tells us. I can do this. You can do this. As beloved children. Now you ready for the bad news? You can't do that. You know, you have preachers, you can't come to Christ unless you're predestined to come. Okay, but you haven't told them anything yet. You haven't told them about Christ. He says, as beloved children. Me telling you you can't do that, that doesn't tell you anything, does it? But it does send me to the very next point, which is telling us you need to keep in step with the Spirit as you walk in the light of the Word. We can walk as children because God is our Father. As Paul wrote that, you know, for a man that's been in jail a lot, he has a very tender attitude about God, doesn't he? He has a very tender attitude about you too. He says you should imitate God as beloved children and walk in love. So he's told us now we need to walk in a worthy manner. We're told don't walk like the Gentiles. Walk in the Spirit of God. And here he even adds, walk in love. Some of you already heard me beat my drum. I have had a lot of trouble speaking about the love of God for other people because I heard it so much growing up. It's just, God loves me. He loves you. He loves me. He loves you. He loves them. And we were never told that love comes with responsibilities if we're in the love of God. He says, walk in love. If God loves you, we are not entitled to, we are commanded to walk in love. That's a hard one for some Christians. Because for some of us, I'm right. And I'm going to tell him. I will make sure he knows that I was right before we stop this conversation, aren't we? But Paul is saying here, is that the way children show each other love? That's the way you should show love when you walk in the faith that you have. It says, walk in love as Christ loved us. The humility of Christ, the humble manner of Christ, that's something that I'm seeing more and more of as I'm going through this. I never could tweak it to where I could see Christ as humble, and that's something I want to be. But kids, they'll do anything to get mama's attention when they're little kids that just love God, love mama, love daddy. As you love others, as Christ loved you, you perform a fragrant sacrifice. The same that Christ did on the cross, but has happened as an event in your life as the Spirit of God moves you to love those that you would never have loved otherwise. I bet right now, if you just thought about it, there are family members that come to mind that you really have trouble loving. Neighbors. Fortunately, I don't have that problem with my neighbors. I've been blessed by good neighbors. One guy, whenever I had a surgery event, just a heart event, he actually went out and trimmed my yard to make sure it all looked nice and finished for a year. I talked to him and said, "Brother, I can do this." And he said, "It's all right. I like doing it anyway." He's a Christian brother, but he showed me how I should feel toward a Christian brother also. It gave us a chance to be together as brothers in some other times that we just had never done before. Now, at the very bottom there in verse 7, or at least it's the bottom in mine, walking in love, he does still say, though he puts the boundary on it I was telling you a while ago, do not become partners with those who he identifies in the previous sentence as sons of disobedience that are under the wrath of God. So, yes, you can speak to them. Yes, you can be with them. Yes, you can spend time with them. But you can't treat them as brothers. You know, probably the greatest problem in all of the social events around us is there are those that have the idea that we should treat them just all as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because after all, we're all trying to get to the same place, right? When you speak of Christ, you can't speak about him in a way that they'll receive it at all, unless the Spirit of God is working in them. So he does say, you need to remember, at one time you were in darkness. Looking there at verse 8 of chapter 5. At one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the world. The one thing that you see that you just think you can't get over, more than likely that's something that you see in others that they saw in you before Christ made the difference in your life to where you came to be the new creation in Christ. We don't need to look at these descriptions like this without understanding that he's talking about us before Christ. And the same difference that the love of God can make in them too. But we just can't sit there and say, well, it's going to happen to that one. That one, boy, never did. No, not to that one. When he says this, he's talking about, he says, remember who you were before Christ. Remember how each one of us was before Christ. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light because there are three fruits of walking in light. And that is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Doesn't matter what they agree with you on, what they accept about you. You still love them because it is that way the good that is in your own life that becomes the goodness of wisdom and peace. The truth that becomes in your own life over time becomes the truth that stands for everything that you've learned and matured through. That is the truth, the right. You can be right in front of others without having any kind of arrogance. Anything that, as we've said here, it says, let the word offend them, but don't you. That's what Paul is saying here. There are differences, but take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them through your own character, your own spirit, the way that the Holy Spirit has worked in you. Now, I put at the top of your outline here that this is part one, and because it is, this is as far as we're going to be going. But I did want to read one quote. There is a in what we've seen in Paul, we haven't seen anything in the verses that I began with. But in understanding the value of wisdom, Proverbs has a wonderful thing that should be our guide in our interpretation of all of these right here. Proverbs 2:1 says, my son, if you receive my word and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasures, then you will find the wisdom of the heart. There's a program named that, and I've always appreciated his words toward that. The value of wisdom, the accumulated knowledge that God's given you, that you have matured with, that's the actual goal in Christ. As you get older, some of us just get stupider. But I'm not going to point at nobody. Oh, no, not me. But the thing of it is that Paul was saying over and over, do you see where you've come from? That's from walking in the Spirit. Continue to walk in the Spirit. Continue to look carefully how you walk. And we've talked about wisdom and such in other classes. But making best use of the time, we'll do that next time. Because the days are evil, we'll be there. And don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that will be brought about, that will be the substance of my lesson next week. I pray that it's been helpful. I do pray that the Holy Spirit is going to continue to be faithful in your own lives, to teach you as we've taught here. Would you bow your heads? Father, we're thankful for this. Lord, we've never known the mercy and grace and the love of our God outside of the Spirit of God that has brought us new life in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we ask you to be with us this week, that we would learn to walk in the Spirit, that we would learn more of you, that we would walk in the knowledge of you, and that, Father, we would, as we go through next week, looking at that light of Christ that you have placed before us, that we will continue to mature to that wonderful time, Father, where we could share the wisdom of God, both with each other and with those that we encounter outside of the church. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. We ask you, Lord, that you would close us now and be with us as we share a meal together. In Jesus' name, amen.